This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, September 17th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. As part of an ongoing election series, The Wall Street Journal has been breaking down how President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden differ on major policy issues. Today, we take a look at the candidates' positions on tech policy. Between TikTok, antitrust scrutiny, and much, much more, there's a lot to talk about. Our reporter Ryan Tracy will help us do it after these headlines. Shares of the data warehousing company Snowflake more than doubled on their first day of trading yesterday, giving the company a market cap of about $70 billion. Snowflake might not be a household name, but the company is a darling in Silicon Valley, and it's just completed the biggest software IPO ever. Our reporter Corey Driebusch says it shows what kind of bets investors are interested in as the economy recovers.
They're buying into companies that in this type of economy, when people are working remotely, where people are shopping online, where people are changing the way they think about travel and work and communication with family and friends, those are the types of companies they're buying into. Anything that's showing a lot of growth also is doing really, really well with interest rates as low as they are. So Snowflake really fits that kind of ideal company to invest in so well, because it's a cloud company and it's growing so fast right now. It's not profitable yet, which is key to note, but it is posting very large revenue growth year over year.
And federal prosecutors are accusing five Chinese citizens of hacking more than 100 companies in the U.S. and abroad. Officials say the alleged hackers appear to be linked to Chinese intelligence and that their targets included social media companies, universities, and telecom providers. The charges build on several other cases brought against purported Chinese hackers during the Trump administration, which has said that Beijing's cyber-enabled theft of intellectual property is a serious national and economic security threat. Coming up, we've got more on the Trump administration's attitudes on tech policy and how they compare with the Biden camp. That's after the break. In recent months and years, regulators have been asking powerful tech companies tough questions about their businesses. No matter who wins the election in November, that's likely to continue. But President Trump and Democratic nominee Joe Biden differ on both the problems they see with big tech and on how to resolve them. Today, we're taking a look at where the candidates diverge and how the results of the election could impact the tech industry. My colleague Ryan Tracy has been looking into this, and he joins me now. Ryan, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's start with the big picture. If you had to sum up each side's approach, what's each candidate's sort of thesis on big tech, so to speak?
Well, we know that President Trump has really not been shy about broad regulatory attacks on technology companies. He's got his Justice Department looking at Google. The Federal Trade Commission is looking at Facebook, both for antitrust violations. And there have also been these kind of high-profile broadsides against Chinese companies recently. And, you know, he's also talked a lot about anti-conservative bias online, and that would certainly be a focus in a second Trump term. For former Vice President Biden, you know, he's been very critical of big tech as well. And a lot of his concerns stem from the impact of the technological revolution on kind of average workers, and how is that going to displace people who may lose their job because of artificial intelligence or driverless cars, for example. There's a skepticism from Mr. Biden and from his camp kind of about the economic benefits that tech has provided, and whether the government should be doing more to mitigate some of the economic downsides of the technological revolution.
So a lot to dive into there. Let's start with China. You mentioned it's been one of the biggest headlines of the Trump presidency. And, you know, tech companies have increasingly been caught in the middle. TikTok is just one example. Do we expect that to continue if Trump is elected? And how have we seen candidate Biden respond?
We certainly expect President Trump to continue on the same path vis-a-vis China. You know, what's interesting is the Biden camp also is very concerned about China. And we've reported that, you know, they really believe a lot of the critiques that President Trump makes about China are spot on. They disagree with some of the tactics that he's employed. And we expect that a Biden administration wouldn't be so prone to go after specific companies, for example, with executive orders or that kind of thing. But we do expect that there would be efforts to kind of rein in China when it comes to taking over certain industries, whether that be 5G wireless infrastructure, for example, or artificial intelligence. You know, there is a concern in the Biden camp about maintaining the U.S. leadership on tech and kind of confronting China in its ambitions there.
You know, a lot of the American companies that make up U.S. leadership in tech are also under antitrust scrutiny within the U.S. The Trump administration has been hammering on this. We've been reporting on investigations into Google, Facebook, Amazon. The Obama administration, by contrast, in which Biden served as vice president, was a bit more tech friendly. They notably hired some Silicon Valley veterans to key posts, declined to pursue antitrust complaints against Google and other companies. So I wonder how the candidates compare on the issue of antitrust.
Well, they both are concerned about big tech's power. They see how large these companies have become and how important they are to the economy. And they both would look at whether that power has grown too great and ought to be reined in by the government. You know, with Vice President Biden, he didn't, on the campaign trail, he didn't go as far as some of the progressive Democrats did in directly calling for breaking up big tech companies. Instead, he said, we need to take a look at them. We need to do more antitrust enforcement where it's appropriate, but we need to look at the facts first. And it's interesting, when you talk to people in the Biden camp, they do sort of acknowledge that the Obama administration was perceived as tech-friendly. And what they say is, look, that may have been the case 5 or 10 years ago. Products that seemed great 5 years ago, you know, turned out to be great, but also have some downsides that the government ought to be dealing with. On the Trump side, we expect he's going to continue these investigations. In fact, before the end of the year, perhaps even before the election, we could see some antitrust cases actually filed against these big tech firms, Google and Facebook in particular, and those would continue in a second Trump term for sure.
And I think related to the issue of dominance of the internet, especially as we approach the election, we've seen President Trump increasingly at odds with social media companies. He's accused them of censoring conservative viewpoints. Can you just remind us what action he's taken on that front?
Sure. So in addition to tweeting about it a lot and really communicating his concerns to conservatives a lot, he also issued an executive order this year that seeks to encourage government agencies to get more involved in overseeing the way tech companies moderate content. And that's playing out right now. The Federal Communications Commission is taking comments on that idea. And that policy is something that would have to be carried through in a second Trump term, working out some of the legal issues that have been raised about that initiative.
And I'd imagine that Biden, a Democrat, does not agree with that assertion that conservative viewpoints are silenced online.
No, in fact, Democrats really believe that conservative content does great online, looking at Facebook and other platforms. If anything, they want these companies to be doing more taking down of content, not less. So there's a real contrast on this issue. President Trump says these companies are engaging in censorship. Vice President Biden argues that they're not doing nearly enough to take down false information, conspiracy theories, things about him personally that he really doesn't like that are being shared, he says, unfairly. He's got a whole section of his website devoted to criticizing Facebook about this. So you could expect a Biden administration to also look at this issue of how big social media companies are managing their sites and to try to do something to encourage them to be more active.
So that's an area that they diverge for sure. Another area they seem to diverge on is employment as it relates to tech. You mentioned before that this has been a big focus of Vice President Biden. What's his specific concern and what's he proposed to fix it?
So his concern is that with new technologies like artificial intelligence or autonomous driving, you might displace workers in industries that have been around for a long time and that the government ought to be doing something to help those workers. Another thing that he raises is the gig economy. And he believes that companies should be treating gig workers more like employees, providing them more benefits, for example. And the Trump administration really contrasts with them on that. They've issued opinions from the Labor Department that disagree with the notion that gig workers ought to be treated as employees. And the Trump campaign has been critical of Democratic policies in this area. They basically say that if you're forcing an employer to treat an employee a certain way, you're actually taking away the freedom of that employee to sort of choose how they want to work and whether they want to operate part-time or kind of jump from employer to employer, for example. So there's a contrast on this gig worker issue for sure.
And finally, let's talk about where they converge. So we're talking about these issues that touch consumers more directly. There are a couple of places on that front that both candidates have said they'll focus on. Access to broadband is one, and protecting consumers' privacy is another. Why is there at least some agreement on those particular issues?
Well, when you describe these problems, it's really like as American as apple pie. I mean, you're not going to get a politician that disagrees that everyone ought to have broadband. You're not going to get a politician that would disagree with the notion that everyone's privacy ought to be protected online. And so where the disagreement comes on these issues is really in the details. A Democratic administration would be much more likely to open the government's checkbook to build out broadband infrastructure or to subsidize, low-income people to get a broadband plan at home if they don't have it. On consumer privacy, there's agreement that the privacy laws in the United States are outdated and haven't been updated for the internet age, but the details of that haven't been worked out. So, for example, one issue is, should people be able to sue a company that violates their privacy? Democrats think there ought to be some form of that right in the law. Republicans see that as, opening the door to all kinds of frivolous lawsuits. So it's issues like that that Congress will be working out in the next few years. Who the president is really going to matter in terms of what can get done.
Our reporter, Ryan Tracy, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you want to know more about how the candidates differ on other major policy issues, we've got a special Election 2020 page on WSJ.com. You can find more there. And for more conversations like this one, plus an overview of today's top headlines, check out our What's News podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening.